You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1.
All right, the boys are in here. Brian Hayes, Jamie Noodles McLennan. We got a lot going on today. I want to touch on Kawhi Leonard doing the whole tourism thing because it continues.
I know, but I'm concerned now. I got to be honest, and I don't know where you're at. I was going to bring that up. I wasn't sure out of the gate. I'm concerned that he's doing a goodbye tour.
He's been to Niagara Falls.
Yeah.
He was out for dinner at the Cactus Club earlier in the week.
Yeah.
Showed up at the ball game last night.
Home Depot getting boxes.
He was at Home Depot.
Like, I don't know. I'm trying to figure it out if he's like, hey, I'm going to settle into this city and show. I don't know who was with him at the Blue Jays game.
Like, I think that's his girlfriend.
Girlfriend, wife, whatever. Like, but either showing her the city and showing, or like, hey, we've lived here for a year and haven't experienced any of that. Might as well do that on our way out.
There are two interpretations.
I was really concerned because I feel like I've been on the train of him staying the whole time. I think in the back of my mind, I'm like, this guy delivered a championship. You know, the other day he's given it like, you know, one more or whatever. And now I'm starting to get concerned that because I was trying to put myself in that spot going, am I going to enjoy the city and all of it that it has to offer because I know I'm not coming back in a couple months, or is because I've never done that. I am going to be embraced by.
Well, that's the glass half empty.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm going to take advantage of the tourism because the next time I come here, I'm going to be here for 24 hours playing a game and then I'm leaving.
Right. I'm never going to see it.
The opposite would be, again, I've been waiting for this opportunity because when Kawhi is playing and during the season, he's so locked in that he doesn't have time.
Yeah.
You can't go down to Niagara Falls during the season. I mean, I guess you could, but during the winter, you don't want to be down there anyway.
It's the right time.
Going to a ball game, I mean, I'm a little bit surprised. Now, I'm assuming a lot of the players have just dispersed and they're out of here. But I would be surprised if the Blue Jays didn't extend an invitation to the whole team to come out and throw out the first pitch collectively.
Right.
Hang out behind home plate, up in a box, whatever it is. And I can't speak for the other guys. I don't know how many of them are still in Toronto. He's got young kids, Kawhi.
Yeah.
So it could be a situation where they're waiting for the school year to end or for his oldest kid anyway. But, like, I'm just assuming he's going to be at Wonderland today. And
Yorkdale Mall tomorrow. Like, just
He's got to go up the CN Tower, like, at some point.
Walking around.
If Kawhi's up on top of the CN Tower, down at the aquarium. Yeah, maybe that's just I've been waiting to do all this stuff, and let's go.
Okay, and the weather's beautiful, so let's get a poll. What else does Kawhi do before he heads home for the summer?
Well, what's the ultimate tourism in Toronto move? The truth is, he did the red kind of tour bus, but he did it very differently than everybody else.
Yes, on a parade.
He did it during a parade.
Yes.
But he was on top of one of those red buses, and he was driving around, and I guess there wasn't a tour guide up there.
Correct.
But in a way, he did kind of do that.
All right.
I think that kind of counts. Maybe that launched the whole week of tourism to Kauai, the fact that he was cruising around downtown and getting, you know, all the sights and sounds and getting a read on all the architecture downtown and history, you know.
The more I see stuff like that, it's chipping away at my confidence that he's staying. I don't know why. I don't have a reason why. I think it was Bruce Arthur that wrote the article, like, leave him alone.
Well, and Bruce is going to be in studio here with us in about 20 minutes. And someone just sent that text in, you know, give him some space.
Right.
Which I understand, but I don't know if that's...
I don't think it's possible.
Not possible. This is what comes with being a celebrity. It's not like there are downsides to being celebrities.
Right.
That everyone is a paparazzi now. Because everyone's got a camera phone.
Yep.
He is clearly the most popular person in the city, and no one is even close.
No, not even
close.
Like,
there isn't anybody in the same stratosphere as Kawhi Leonard.
No.
Nobody. Austin Matthews, Vladdy Guerrero Jr., none of them are close to Kawhi. And we're all trying to get a read on his body language and all that. I think because Kawhi Leonard is a... pretty unassuming guy, seems pretty low-key.
Right.
We assume he doesn't like the attention.
But yet he's behind home plate.
He's sitting behind home plate.
Well, I thought about that. Why is he not in a box?
And he was getting a standing O, and he seemed to be, like, why wouldn't you love getting a standing O?
I know.
You know, like I understand it. If people are stopping you when you're taking your garbage out, you're like, that's pushing it, man.
Right.
You know, if you're with your kids at the park or something, leave me alone. You go to a ball game and you sit behind home plate. There's a part of you that's thinking, I'll bet you they're going to know that I'm here and people are going to give me a standing O. He had to have known he was going to get a standing O when he walked in there.
Absolutely.
The Blue Jays aren't going to get one in 2019.
But where is he getting those tickets? Like, those tickets aren't just
sitting there.
He could
get access to anything
he wants.
That's
what I'm saying.
Anything.
He had his handlers reach out and go, I'm going to the Blue Jays game tonight. And they'll say, perfect. I've got two seats right behind home plate. And if he wanted to be unassuming, he would say, put me in one of those hotel rooms that got that has the windows.
Right.
Could you imagine? Like, that's what I would think. He's watching Mike Trout hit, because Trout probably would have almost hit him. If he was sitting in a hotel room through the windows.
The way he was batting this
week, the way Trout took control of the series. But I could see all of a sudden the blinds fly open and there's Kawhi sitting in a chair with him and his wife.
With his New Balance gear on.
Yeah.
Just hanging out watching the ball game.
I can't get a read on it. I want to be positive and think that this guy is just enjoying the moment. And that's his way of doing it. But you know,
I think it's much better that he's sticking around. Much better. Because you know athletes.
Well, if he was non-visible.
There are a lot of guys who, the second the season ends, I've been dying to get out of here. I can't wait to get out of here.
Most Europeans.
I'm out of here.
Yeah, the Europeans, the Russian guys. Even, I'm guilty of this. I'm from Edmonton. It's not the most desirable city in the world. But there were times during All-Star breaks I would fly home to see my family and friends late January. Can you imagine what that weather looked like? Instead of going to Vegas, instead of going to the Bahamas with the guys, I'm out there heading to Edmonton for 4 days. So if Kawhi was so dying to get back to California, to go back to obscurity, he's not going to Blue Jay games. He's not having dinner at the Cactus Club.
You know? He could have been out of here. The parade was on Monday. By Monday night,
bird out.
He could have been back in California.
Yeah.
Tuesday morning, he could have been home flying the red eye.
Now, you said you make a good point. I don't know how old his kids are that they're in school. You may want to finish out the year. Like, there's probably a lot of moving parts. There were reports that maybe he bought a place, like that type of stuff. Maybe closing on that. You know, there's so many different things.
But everyone wants to know.
Everyone
wants to know.
And everyone's got a different take. And last night's visibility scared me. All the visibility of him scares me that it's his swan song and he's doing the rounds, like, because he's never going to be here again other than to play the Raptors. Or he's just trying to embrace it all, which is very possible.
Absolutely. I think it's much better than him being out of here the first opportunity could have been.
If he left Tuesday morning... And then, you know, in the Sun or, you know, the National Post or whatever, took out a half-page ad saying thank you, you know, buy my
Well, he could have absolutely done that. Yeah,
and gone.
It's been great. You know, I made up my mind.
Right.
I'll see you later, guys.
I don't know. Like, maybe it's his wife going, like, we've been here a whole year. We haven't seen what this can even offer.
Well, I saw this that, you know, some people were pointing out he was at some cargo jet company or something today and... You know, a lot of people have been tweeting that in.
Well, so would that be the same cargo jet company that
Drake, I think, was
that gave
with.
Drake a plane?
So, believe me, that Canadian company, if it is Canadian, I believe it is, I don't think they're interested in doing business with a guy who's not going to be living here and not playing here.
Well, here's the thing that
I'm starting to get more and more optimistic that Kawhi Leonard is going to stay. I'm not bracing myself for a 5-year max deal, but a 1-1 like LeBron has done, like Durant has done.
Yeah. Let me paint you a picture. Drake and him get together in Vegas over a million drinks. And Drake says, I can hook you up with a plane anytime your family wants to fly up here. You'll get your own plane. This is outside of the NBA. This will be a sponsorship deal. Go and see this guy. We'll have Air Kawhi. And your family can be on a bird anytime. Because that's the type of perks you can offer. I don't believe that would count against the luxury tax and that because it's an endorsement deal.
Right. I don't think it would either. I don't know if Drake has the power to be handing out cargo jets.
I'm saying,
he can maybe broker or something.
My point being is Drake could be the liaison in between that type of stuff so that Masai doesn't have to. This is a massage deal.
Mm-hmm.
I always talk about this market and rich markets. How can you make it beneficial for an athlete if you know that you can only pay them a certain amount of money? I say this, and I jokingly say this, because I don't think you could do it if you were the Maple Leafs and Mitch Marner, but his dad all of a sudden has a lifetime job at Canadian Tire. You know, like, make it, and not taking cash at the teller like he's an executive and gets paid a lot of money. That's a circumventing deal. I don't even know if that would even work, but you've got to be creative. And that's, if Kawhi's being seen at a jet company's place, like, to me, he's...
Well, I don't think he's just there saying hi to somebody.
No, like, he's looking at what they have to offer.
What's going on around here? Andrew texting and saying, I think Kawhi put all his chips on the Angels-Blue Jays game last night. Whichever team won was the city he was going to stay in.
Well, there you go.
And I was thinking about that last night, because the Angels are the Clippers of Major League Baseball. They're the second team in the market. They're nowhere close to as relevant. They have nowhere close to the amount of fans. You know, the Dodgers are the Lakers.
Right, right.
The Clippers are the Angels. And, you know, he's sitting there, just the irony of that, that he's watching those two teams.
Taking pictures of Mike Trout behind home plate.
Yeah, but anyway, Bruce Arthur again will be in studio in about 10 minutes. We'll get back into Kawhi and the draft last night. There was a lot going on in that draft. Zion Williamson went first overall. Everyone knew he was going first overall, including himself. Like, I understand the emotions. It's a massive moment, but there's no way he was shocked. Like, it's not possible he could have been surprised.
I think he would have been surprised if he didn't go.
Absolutely.
That's,
I think,
the
he
shock.
Would have passed out if he didn't go first overall.
Yes.
So, like, I get the... I understand it's emotional and he's happy, but, like, I kind of expected him to get up and just be like, yeah, I know. Thanks. Like, show up to the draft in a New Orleans Pelicans hat.
But you have to
be somewhat. That would take stones.
It would, but you have to be somewhat. I don't know if humble's the right word, but you still have to expect. You know, Austin Matthews knew he was going first, but you don't open your shirt and there's a Maple Leafs T-shirt underneath. You still have to respect the situation.
I guess. Well, did you see Keldon Johnson? He went 29th to San Antonio last night. He stands up. He takes off one tux jacket. And he's got another one underneath. And he's got some handler who's like, okay, I guess I'll take that and put it on the chair. Like, he gets out, and you knew it was
like Superman. Like,
totally choreographed. He went 29th, so he'd been sitting there for like 3 hours.
Yeah, I was.
And he gets up, and he takes his one jacket off, and he's got another tuxedo underneath.
It was
which
unique.
I thought was great.
I thought there were some pretty interesting walks to the podium.
Well, these guys are 6'9", 7 feet,
and,
you know.
But, you know, peach fuzz on their face. They're just kids.
They're kids.
And
they're
you
kids.
Forget, you know, Kaz was saying off air just before we came on, you know, some of the interviews they went through, you forget they're not seasoned veterans in dealing with the media.
I didn't know RJ Barrett can speak French.
I didn't know that either.
So this is what went down after the draft. He went to do his podium, and they went through a number of things with him, and then I guess someone showed up and must have known. Because you can't just start speaking French to him if you don't know if he can speak French. Just because he's Canadian. Some guy comes over from France and he's like, well, you're Canadian, so I assume you know how to speak French. And this is what went down last night.
J'étais très excité. Je suis finalement dans la NBA. J'ai pleuré beaucoup. Mes parents ont pleuré beaucoup, mais je suis très content d'être ici. That was nice, wasn't it?
Justin Trudeau. He was pretty happy with himself, and he should be.
That's
in
awesome.
New York. I don't think he's got to worry about speaking French in New York. But
no,
that was a cool scene last night. Kyle Dubas met with the media last night.
He had some interesting things to say. I actually give him lots of credit. He's very polished, but I thought, not that he threw a few things out there that were curveballs, but he's been so adamant all season long, we'll match this, we're going to do that, like, and it's almost like he's walked back some of his comments.
Oh, I don't think it's almost like he has.
Okay,
like,
so
do we have both clips? Do we have the original from like mid-season with Dubas and what he said about offer sheets? And you know, this is where he was putting forth a lot of confidence. Let's hear what Dubas had to say mid-season about offer sheets.
Our salary cap situation is set up that we could defend any of those threats with no worry at all. So I spend 0% of my time having any worry about that. And if a team wants to go down that path with us, that's the way it goes. Players have both stated they want to be here, and it's our goal to continue to work with them and their agents towards an agreement.
So that was I'm not losing sleep. What a dumb question.
Yeah.
Don't
basically
even
basically like take a lap.
Don't even present that garbage with me. I won't even think twice. Immediate match, moving on. Yeah. Next question. And then last night,
yeah,
same media guys are like, you know, let's circle back on that whole offer sheet thing, considering the draft is now upon us. Free agency's right around the corner, and here's what Dubas said about offer sheets last night.
I think it would really depend on any of the players. I mean, we've got, it's not just one guy, we've got a number of them, and if there were an offer sheet, we would look at what they are and what the compensation is for our team and make the decision based off of that. So I think they're all very important players for us, and so you know, it's our intention that they're all here for as long as we can possibly keep them. But if the dollar amount doesn't make sense, both in terms of our internal economics and the marketplace and the compensation as such, it's going to be a decision on our end as to what we do. So I wouldn't know one way or another without knowing more about where those are going to land if they happen.
That is a pretty significant turn.
It is.
That is a pretty significant
turn. But I got to be honest, I think it's the right call. He can't with 100% certainty go, yeah, we're going to match anything. What if Kapanen gets a 6-year deal at $5.5 million a year? You matching that immediately?
Like, no, you can't.
You can't, because you're not sure. And this could happen before Mitch Marner signed. Like you've got to be very careful. So, if you call it walk back your comments, but this is what you have to do, is keep all options open. And I like the fact that he's saying, you know, you're hearing rumblings that, well, we're listening. We're listening on players. Yeah, you have to, because you have to know all your options. So, you know, I think there's a lot being bandied about there. You know, Marner's, if he doesn't have a deal in place, I thought I read that this afternoon, that going to take some trips.
Dreger said that you know, Dreg's reporting that the intention is the second he can get on a plane, which, again, maybe he's going to fly on Kawhi's new plane. And he's getting, like, what I find humorous about that, I'm not saying it won't happen, is what Dubas said when he was asked about that a couple months ago. He's like, since when do you go on visits for an RFA?
Yeah.
Like, where is Mitch Marner think he's going? Like, I'm flying to Detroit to check it out.
I don't
know. Okay. What you played in the building.
Right.
You know, you can find that your agent can tell you everything about the city. They can find that out for you. Like, it would just be such a blatant stunt.
Well,
like, that doesn't mean he won't sign an offer sheet, but you don't have to go on tours.
Yeah, like, I think that's just more of a PR tour.
It's such a PR. UFAs don't go on tours.
Yeah.
John Tavares said, come meet me in L.A. He didn't go to Dallas and Boston and San Jose.
Yeah.
He said, you come meet me.
Yeah.
If Mitch Marner is, you know,
Is interested in this,
you don't go meet
them. Island. He's not flying the island to meet Lou Lamoriello face to face. He knows what Lou's all about. Lou, no. Like, that's, you're right, but the optics of it. Now he's playing chicken. Now
happening. And that's what's happening here with Dubas.
Right.
Is Kyle is telling his players, you know, watch what you wish for here.
Right.
Because there isn't a guarantee. Like, and I think that's specifically Marner. I think it carries over to an extent with Kapanen as well, who I think really loves it here and enjoys it here and wants to be a part of it. But I think with Mitch Marner, that's where the majority of the threats have been coming publicly. And this idea that, again, he's really going to seek it out, and if he has to, he'll do it.
Right.
Watch what you wish for. Like, because if you sign it, there's a chance you got to play.
Right.
So if you end up going to the Islanders and you get this big deal, okay. But now you're a step above Anders Lee in terms of recognition league-wide.
Yeah.
A step above.
Yeah.
So you want to be Anders Lee plus a little bit, okay.
Well, and
you can be Mitch Marner, the god in Toronto.
You're not in a market that, again, you go back to, you know, the Islanders are recognizable, but not close.
No.
They're 10% of what this market is. You're right.
Yeah, and there's a number of teams that are like that. Now, there are teams that are in the same stratosphere as the Leafs, so if he can get one of those teams, then maybe he gets the best of both worlds. A lot of money, a lot of fanfare. I don't know. Who knows what he really wants?
Yeah, I mean, it's different. You said yesterday, jokingly, like, if he's in Montreal and meeting with Bergevin, that's going from apples to apples as far as the market size and fan base.
Oh, yeah. Like, Montreal would be going crazy.
Right.
As they should. He's a great player.
But I also thought, I took it from Dubas's comments, too, that it wasn't a lock if Kapanen gets something. Because I think that's your... We've been all talking, and I'm not 100% in belief that it's going to be Leafs. I think it's going to be another player. I still think that there is going to be an offer sheet. It may not be a Leaf. It could be Aho. It could be... I don't think it's going to be Point. I think Tampa will be able to get it done based on some of the information we got yesterday.
Well, now Ryan Callahan.
Callahan gone. But they're you know, Calgary is Tkachuk a slam dunk that it's just going to get done?
You know, if I'm him, I'm looking for 9 or 10.
Right. And they've got, you know, they've got to sort out
the money and stuff, I think. But
they do. But they've got to sort out their situation as well. Every team has to sort out their situation. So I think there's, you know, is Boston. Team like McAvoy, I think, wants to stay there. It's a good situation. He's got his mentor in Chara, but he's not falling into the stepladder and going, well, I'm taking a Marchand deal just because Marchand's a leader on this team and he's signed. Like, this is the business part of
it. Well, the Maple Leafs better hope that happens. I think what the Leafs might be a little bit nervous about, and they should be, is when all the dust settles, whenever it is, October 1st, 2019. They had to pay their guys a ton, and none of them are good deals in terms of team friendly.
Right.
But Point signed for 7 years at $7 million. Yeah. How do you explain that? And Aho's like, yeah, okay, I'll take eight to stick around. Yeah. And McAvoy's like, okay, I'll do a 3-year bridge at 5.5 because I want to be here. But the Leafs are the only ones that had to do it, that had to give it. Because that's the truth. If you're going to do it, you better hope that everyone else is in the same boat. Because we just assume. But none of them have had to deal with it. The Leafs had to deal with Nylander and Matthews. Right. None of these other teams have had to deal with it, really.
Yet. And now it is.
They will.
Now
but if they don't go through the same stuff the Leafs do,
right,
the Leafs are going to look really stupid.
Well, if a shoe,
really stupid.
Like you say, if a shoe drops and Tkachuk goes, yeah, I'll take, you know, 8.5 on an 8-year deal.
On an 8-year deal, you're like, wait, what?
Yeah.
why does Mitch Marner need 11.5 on a 5-year deal?
Yeah.
He's not that much better than Matthew Tkachuk.
Yeah, you're right.
Anyway.
You got to be careful with that.
Ray Ferraro just after 5. Bruce Arthur from The Star will join us. What's up with Kawhi? We'll recap the draft last night. There's a number of things going on. We'll get Bruce in here next. All right, the NHL draft tonight in Vancouver. Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, will join us at 5:05. Gary Bettman will be on at 6:15.
Yes, he will.
Gary Bettman, the commissioner, will be on at 6:15. Bruce Arthur in studio. What's up, Bruce?
I'm just really excited. I hope O-Dog is watching.
He is.
Because the food that's outside that got delivered here looks fantastic.
Yeah, we got a food drop-off.
We didn't even get into that. We got a food drop-off because...
Because of his rant yesterday about not having food. Which I think is great that he doesn't get to pay. Yeah, you know, he doesn't get the payoff, basically.
I drank some of the juice. There was a ham and cheese sandwich there. It was fantastic. And there was, like, fresh salads and stuff. Like, it was...
Well, we would have given the company a shout-out if they didn't start by saying, I got to be honest, we don't listen a lot, but we heard yesterday. We heard yesterday you guys complaining about food, so we figured we'd try to
weasel our way in. Like, yeah, we happen to be just channel surfing and heard this jackass.
Honestly, we're not really that big of fans. I think you guys are pretty awful. But anyway, here's some free food. So we've been talking about Kawhi Leonard. You've been writing about Kawhi Leonard.
A lot.
Tracking Kawhi Leonard. Yeah. I mean, he is clearly the most fascinating figure in the city right now. He was down at the ball game last night. The tourist Kawhi continues. And we've been trying to get a read on what that might mean. And Richard texting in, I think this makes a good point. He's like, he must be fully committed to Toronto if he's going to a Blue Jay game. Because it takes a lot for people to want to go down to that park right now.
Who's the other team?
The Clippers.
Basically
the Clippers.
Basically the Clippers.
Right. The Clippers.
But, of baseball.
But that's the thing. Like, I've been of the belief that he's staying. But the last couple days has scared me. And I don't know if this is right or wrong. And I don't have the answer. But maybe shed some insight just from what you believe, too. But it could be two things. He wants to embrace the city now that he has time.
Mm-hmm.
Or... this is his swan song, like him and his wife. I think that's his wife or girlfriend or whatever, his spouse.
Girlfriend, yeah.
Okay, his girlfriend are like, hey, we might as well do it while we're here because we're going back to California, and the next time I'm here, I'll be in just to play the raps, and that's it. Mm-hmm. Like, to me, I see both sides. The Home Depot boxes kind of scared me because I don't know if that's stuff going into storage or if that's like, hey, let's load this stuff, and that's gone. So,
all right, what's your read here?
Yeah,
Bruce?
What's your read?
What do you have for us?
Okay, well, first, the city needs to calm down a little bit.
I read your article.
Like, everyone's got to just chill out a bit.
Well, be leave
like,
them alone a bit.
Be like Kawhi, man. Yeah, be cool. It's not like he's one thing to remember about Kawhi. He's different than anyone else you've ever met.
Right.
He's a different cat. It could be that he's doing this because he thought he should do this stuff before he leaves. And it could be that he's doing this because he wants to experience the city and he likes the city and he hasn't been able to enjoy it in right. good weather.
Right.
We don't know either one on that yet. I will say this. If you'd asked me before the parade, or between the championship and the parade, if I thought Kawhi was leaving, I would have told you that I think Kawhi is leaving. And if you ask me today, I think it's a decision. And that's the result of a number of conversations that I can't say yet what they are.
Right.
But there is a real decision that I think is up in the air here. And trying to divine what Kawhi is going to do based on whether how he acts at the ball game, or how he gets moving, like the moving boxes thing. He was renting a house.
Yeah,
he was renting a house, and he bought a house in near San Diego.
Yeah.
He's going to move this summer anyway.
Yeah, regardless.
And I just respect Kawhi Leonard for being a guy who makes $30 million and goes to Home Depot and gets moving boxes himself.
That's the real news.
That's awesome.
The real news. Send your assistant. Or
you can send anybody down there.
Yeah.
You can get Uber to just pick those up and bring them back.
But a lot of Kawhi is what you see. He said he wanted to go see Niagara Falls, so he went and saw Niagara Falls.
Yeah.
Right? Like he said, like, I'd like to check that out. He doesn't lie, this guy.
So in terms of the parade, how that has kind of adjusted your viewpoint, was that because of the amount of people in the show or because of what you saw out of Kawhi during the parade?
I don't think it's the parade, actually, which is funny. I think Kawhi enjoyed that day. I think he enjoyed the end of the day where he got to do the laugh. I don't think that stuff really matters to him from people I talk to. I don't think that's the stuff that animates him. I think the winning animates him. When he first came here, I said, what do you want out of your career as part of that first opening press conference? He said, I want to be healthy, number one. I want to compete for championships. I want to put my name in the record books. That's pretty straight up. Now, the question that has never been answered is how much does it matter for you to go home?
Yeah.
That's the $250 million question is if going home to Los Angeles means more to Kawhi than anything else, if it supersedes everything else and he thinks he can win there, I don't think he'll care that the Clippers are second-class citizens. I don't think he'll care that LeBron's playing with Anthony Davis down the hall. I don't think that stuff will bother him. But if he thinks he can win here and his family's happy here and he's happy enough here, if he believes in Masai Ujiri, in the program, in the future of this franchise, which is a really interesting question beyond this year, then that's where I think the decision gets made, is if he believes enough that this is the place to win, to take another run at a championship, and maybe more after that,
right?
Then I think that will be, along with faith in Masai Ujiri, the thing that would keep him here.
Something weird, but I just thought of this. Do you think Golden State's injuries could have factored in one way or the other? Because, and I'm not trying to kick sand at anything, but if Durant was 100% healthy next year, if Klay Thompson was, like, they would have the band or hope to have the band back together,
sure,
potentially. I know Durant's going to be unrestricted, but, you know, that super team would potentially be sitting there. Now it looks like they're going to be broken up, and they're not going to be in anybody's way.
Yeah.
Could that factor in of him giving it another kick in the can from this side and going, hey, I just won with this group?
That's why I can't picture how or why the Raptors would have to explain this being the best place to win. Like, you're coming back, the same team's coming back.
Right.
Maybe Danny Green moves on. But if it's that imperative that he stays, if Kawhi's like, I really like him, guess what's going to happen?
Yeah.
They'll sign.
So Kyle's got 1 year left. Serge Ibaka, those are his two, I think, best friends on the team. Danny Green, they're back for a year. Marc Gasol, I think, is going to opt in. Siakam, Van Vliet, they're all here. Norman Powell, they're all here. Nick Nurse is coming back.
Familiarity of the same thing.
And OG Anunoby should have a better year next year, by the way, which is something that no one's talking about.
So why is that even a part of the sales pitch? Hey, we can win. We just won. You just won a title.
Now, here's the thing. So the Clippers have a bunch of decent young players. They don't have a second star, but what if a second star goes there with them? Like, right. So if you look out at the market, it's not going to be Kevin Durant, but what if Jimmy Butler decides he wants to leave Philly and to go play with Kawhi, who he's friendly with,
right,
in L.A.? What if Kemba Walker wants to go there? Is that enough, along with Lou Williams, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Montrezl Harrell, Danilo Gallinari? Like, that's a decent team. Mm-hmm. I don't think Kawhi – one thing with Kawhi, he's not scared of anybody, but he knows what a winning team is. Right. Like, with the Golden State thing, that era is pretty much over. Like, it doesn't sound like Kevin Durant's going to stay there long term. Maybe surprises us. But that era of that super team – it's going to take a step back. Oklahoma City is looking at moving salary, so that's another team that isn't as good. Right. The Lakers have two great players,
yeah,
and a bunch of guys. Like they have a roster they need to fill out. There's a long way from contention for the Lakers. So let's say that you're Masai Ujiri and you're trying to sell this to Kawhi. You go, okay, one, we can run it back with a team that won 58 games, won the title, and we barely practiced. We won 58 games watching film, resting you for a quarter of the season, resting Kyle for 17 games in the season, plus only adding Mark in midseason. And by the way, OG Anunoby was about the third best player in camp for the first 3 days before everything went sideways. We can be really good, and Pascal is going to be better, and Fred's going to be better.
Right.
We can win 65 games in another title, no problem. So what happens after that? They can roll salary cap space forward. They can do a couple things. The best case scenario is they go get one of the giant free agent guys in 2021, and there's a whole list of them: Giannis, Rudy Gobert, Bradley Beal. There's a whole bunch of guys, and we're going to pair those guys with you, Siakam, Fred VanVleet, and you're going to win. Not only have a shot at it next year, you're going to have a shot down the line. You're going to have a shot to win 3, 4, 5 titles here. Mm. And if you believe, if you are Kawhi and you believe in Masai, and you believe that all this is possible, then that's a pretty good sales pitch. Yeah. But you have to live with living here in the winter, not going home, raising your kids here, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And that's going to be the question for Kawhi Leonard. The question he's never asked is, what do you really want? And he's never answered it.
And hence, if you want to go home, well, there's a cargo jet that we're going to sort you out with. The family can fly back and forth on that anytime you want.
And people are freaking out over that, right? Like, Drake has a connection to this Toronto, like, jet company.
Yeah.
It's a jet company.
Yeah. But
plane can fly away.
I think that's advantageous. If you have access to a private plane, like, think about it. And he's got enough money that he could just go to NetJets or anything
for
like
sure.
That marquee jet. But you're gonna have a plane for anyone in your family member. Like, you want to go home for the weekend? Go.
Well,
like,
you could give him verbal agreements.
Right.
That happen all the time. I would assume if he ends up signing long term, and I don't expect that to happen. I would expect more of a LeBron, Durant one-on-one type maneuvers. But let's say he signs long term. I think it would come with a verbal agreement. The second you want out, we'll move you.
100%.
The second you want out. And I think you could sell him on, listen, we play 41 games a year in Toronto. You're going to be dealing with a few months of bad weather. Like, we can't fight you on that. But whenever they go out west, they go out west for like 10 days to 12 days. Mm-hmm. Usually they fly and they play the Clippers, and then they go to Utah, and then they come down to Phoenix, and they come back and play the Lakers. You go, you're not coming with us on the trip. When we go to L.A., you're in L.A. for a week and a half. You can play against the Clippers. You can play against the Lakers. But that's going to be part of load management.
Yeah, you work your load
and
management.
And during the season, boom, you just hang out in L.A.
Yeah.
Like, but, because they go out west twice. And then when we go out again and play Golden State and play Portland, forget it.
That's,
you go south and you go hang out in L.A.
That's just being creative. Like, it comes back to what you're saying. Like, we don't know, but if you want to make it work, there's so many different layers that could be very attractive for him to be here.
Oh, yeah.
The only thing we don't know is what you said. If he just wants to go home, there's nothing defeating that.
The star treatment is portable, right? Even the medical treatment can be portable. How the team treats him is portable. When he sits down with the teams on June 30th, he can say, this is my list. You better hit every single one of them.
Right.
He can tell the Clippers, when Alex McKechnie's contract comes up, you pay $10 million and you go get him. Alex McKechnie used to live in L.A., by the way. He likes the weather there.
Yeah.
Like, that's all possible.
Right.
There's certain stuff that is portable if you are a star of this magnitude in the NBA. What isn't portable? So if I'm the Raptors, I go, okay, Doc Rivers is going to try to sell you in that meeting.
Yeah.
What's Doc Rivers ever done there? They had Chris Paul, and they had Blake Griffin, and they had DeAndre Jordan. They didn't get out of the second round.
Yeah.
And they don't have a roster as good as ours. Do you trust Lawrence Frank and Doc Rivers, or do you trust Masai Ujiri to win going forward?
Well,
we just won a title.
There's one other guy There's one other guy.
Jerry West's been around
a long
time.
He's a very important guy that you have to include in the Clippers pitch.
Yeah, I do agree with that. I don't know if Kawhi Leonard cares what Jerry West has to say. This isn't like Kobe Bryant, who grew up like knowing who Jerry West is and really valuing that. I'm not sure that Kawhi values that. Again, this guy's different, man. He is a completely different cat. And I honestly think that it's going to be a question of how much he thinks he can win in L.A. at home and how much he thinks he can win and be comfortable here. And it comes down to belief in the two organizations. One thing you can say about the Raptors, they did everything right. Yeah. They hit every single mark all year.
Yeah.
There's now trust between Kawhi and the medical people.
Yeah.
And Kawhi's medical people and Toronto's medical people. The coach, he likes. The president of the team, he likes.
Right, right.
It's a pretty good situation. And here's the other thing is, let's say he does leave. I don't even think Toronto could be mad. I really don't.
You're talking fans or the team?
Fans or the team. Because if he leaves, all the stuff about the meetings with, and I trust Woj. Adrian Wojnarowski is a friend of mine. He's the best. The idea that he might meet with Philly, New York, Brooklyn makes sense because his initial list was that. It included that. There were people in Philly who thought that there was an openness to a long-term extension if Kawhi Leonard went to Philly, and they still didn't trade for him, by the way. But those were at least on his list. Now, Uncle Dennis is from New Jersey. So that's probably where some of that is going.
Right.
And so it could be courtesy visits. I'm still not sure that Kawhi is going to sit down with those teams. And maybe it's Uncle Dennis who does.
Yeah, so you get a... But if you have the right to do it, why not listen?
He has to
do his due diligence, even if you do send in Uncle Dennis.
Yep.
Remember Ben Affleck went on the meetings in Goodwill Hunting
There's no way you can feel confident. Uncle Dennis, you're in here.
Like Uncle Dennis is in there. Well, you're going to have to drop some cash on me right now so that I can go back and tell Kawhi. You never know, but you have to at least explore.
Mm-hmm.
It's his right, and you want to do your due diligence, and you're right. If Woj is saying it's basically the Clippers or here, I don't believe it would be anywhere
I would be shocked
else.
If it was a third party.
That's every,
shocked. Maybe the Lakers still. I know people are like, oh, he's not interested, but he is from the area.
He's not going to Lakers.
Area.
No way.
I wouldn't be shocked if he did.
Kawhi also, wants to be the number one guy. This is what he's been dreaming of. He said that during the finals. He's dreamed of being a Michael Jordan. He loves this. He's never had more fun in a role than he has with
this. Okay, so that's what I find interesting, because you wrote a piece today about, leave him alone and all that. You don't show up to a ball game, in the second or third inning, sit right behind home plate and try to be inconspicuous. It doesn't work that way.
That's right. That's the one I chuckled about.
I think he loves it more than you think.
Where did he sit? Was he on the broadcast, or did he sit over to the side where he wasn't on TV?
Well, but still, you think they can't move the cameras, Bruce?
No, but he didn't sit where he'd be on TV the whole time.
And didn't the players...
He got the best... He got a seat where he could talk to, the ball boy. The ball boy might be the guy who knows. Scott Mitchell said that he asked the ball boy, do you know what Kawhi's going to do? And the ball boy goes, I can't say.
Yeah,
he's confidence.
Right. I was joking before you came on. Typical Kawhi for me would be him in one of those hotel rooms and just open the curtains and him sitting there watching the game from there.
Yeah,
he's that's so what I would do.
But what he wants is primacy as a basketball player, and he wants to win.
Yeah,
that's what's animated everything in his whole career.
Well, and I totally get that, and they all deserve that. Every athlete, every celebrity deserves privacy, if they're with their kids, if they're at their house or whatever. But if you show up at a ball game, I don't think people are bothering him, but they're going to give you a standing ovation.
And he was smiling, but he wasn't
in a luxury box. The one thing I thought. For him to walk right down in front of everyone, I know
that's
it was
him being
inning.
I'm coming in, man.
But those are the real seats, man. You ever sit in those seats?
I
sat in those seats once. You can hear fastballs.
That'd be incredible.
It's awesome. Anything above high 80s, low 90s, you can hear the ball as it's traveling to the plate. It's an amazing place to watch a game.
I haven't sat in those seats, but I've sat some pretty good seats at Fenway and Yankee Stadium and that. It's amazing how quickly that
You get closer to the plate, you realize the velocity, the movement.
Oh. Yeah, the movement is really impressive.
You can feel it.
But it's going to be hard to figure out what Kawhi is really thinking based on whether he goes to a game, whether he gets moving boxes, whether he eats at the Cactus Club, whether he does any of these things. Because, again, he's not like other people, on the court or off the court. He's a different guy.
Yeah.
Well, I certainly hope it ends up going Toronto's way. But, listen, the title is – that book has been written. I've been saying that all week. You know, that is a book. The final chapter has been written. It'll be cherished. It'll be memorized. It'll be sacred in this city forever. And you can't take that away from Raptor fans,
no.
You know, or the organization. But I'm getting greedy. Like, let's write another book. You know what I'm saying? The Godfather 2 was great.
What would piss you off if out of nowhere he just signed in Philly?
Well, if it was Philly, that would infuriate me. Absolutely it would, because the weather's just as bad. It's a worse town.
It's a gritty city,
They're competing with...
I've lived in Philly.
Yeah. It's such a gritty town.
It's gritty.
Philly is like New York in the early 1980s. That's what it's like going to Philly.
Like the Bronx in the early 80s, not Manhattan. All right, Bruce, good seeing you, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
There's Bruce Arthur from the Toronto Star. Ross Atkins, he really hit the nail on the head last night. What's going on with the Blue Jays? What are the problems with the Blue Jays? We'll tell you about that quote next. All right, so the Blue Jays got a win last night in extra innings. And prior to the game, Ross Atkins, I guess, was either talking to the media or he was just talking to our guy, Scotty Mitchell. And Scott sent this tweet out after the game actually ended, or during the game. Do we have the clip of Ross Atkins? Okay, so let's play the clip here, because I guess he was asked, you know, what's been most disappointing this season? It's been an awful year.
Yeah.
You guys are on pace for about 100 losses, if not more. What's so disappointing with you, Ross?
I mean, really, it's just been our overall, you know, ability to prevent runs and score them at the times that, you know, I think that there was points in the season where we felt like if our offense got going, our pitching was holding things together and we could be in good shape. And then we had the pitching injuries.
So
let me get this straight.
You know, you can't pitch and you can't hit. That's a bit of a problem.
In baseball.
That's kind of going to be an issue for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's so disappointing? Well, we can't really pitch and we don't know how to hit, so, yeah, you know, so that's kind of disappointing.
So well. It's not going so well.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. Ross Atkins, I don't know what you can say. You can't put lipstick on a pig. Like, the team is what it is. It's one of the worst teams in baseball. I absolutely believe they're losing 100 games, if not more. It's his team, though.
Yeah.
So I'm sure there's something more specific that's got to be disappointing. Something. And I'm sure there's positives that he could give you.
Not right now. There's nothing positive he
Yeah, I hear you, but, you know, Vladdy's up here. Biggio's hitting with some power. He looks okay. Right. Gurriel Jr.'s been good. Anyway, Ray Ferraro from the draft. Gary Bettman in the 6 p.m. hour. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.